The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Some of you might have seen the survey by Girl Guiding that suggests insecurity among young girls is rising at a massive rate. Over a third of girls aged between 7 and 10, so as young as 7, a third of them, say that societal expectation of their appearance is higher than for boys, which is a big increase in the last time the survey was done a decade ago, which suggests a problem exists and a problem that is getting worse. Sheila Nocton is with me, our own reporter here on News Talk, and Saoirse Hanley, audience editor and columnist with The Independent. You're both very welcome. I mean, I kind of found that surprising that almost a third of girls as young as 7 feel this way, Saoirse. Did you? Or was it just kind of depressing confirmation?
It's depressing confirmation, I think. Like, I suppose myself and Sheila have both been, like, we've both been young girls. You have not, I imagine. But it's hard to imagine the feelings a lot of us will have about ourselves projected onto younger people. Because I know, thinking back to myself at that age, like, it just wasn't really a reality in the same way. But I'm not that surprised that it's a third now, because with all of the different factors you consider that will have likely influenced that, it's easy to see why, I think.
Yeah, so they talk in the survey about kind of online trends and social media platforms and filters and all of this sort of stuff. And I assume, look, the lower down you go in the age cohort, the less exposure there is to those sorts of things. But there must be some exposure.
Yeah, and I think, like, that's the huge difference. Like, if I think back to myself being, 7 to 13, we'll say, like, you didn't have the internet. Like, you weren't, if you did, it was maybe to, you know, use the one big computer for a couple of hours to, like, watch a music video. Like, that's probably the max I was doing. And if I was on YouTube, it was like, you know, a stupid cartoon or some funny video or whatever. And then maybe when I started watching, like, you know, consuming the kind of content that I guess is really ubiquitous now. So all of the beauty stuff and the makeup stuff and all that, you know, kind of the more front facing stuff, like that was maybe, you know, Zoella flogging you a concealer that you might want to try or whatever. But now, like, there's so much content that is accessible for people of, you know, anyone who has access to a phone, really, which a lot of kids do. They will be able to, I suppose, come across this in a way bigger way. And also, like, the industry is different. Like, now there is a whole industry built on trying to sell you certain, you know, beauty ideals, whether it's like makeup or it's, you know, aesthetics or it's a certain kind of lifestyle or whatever. And, you know, as an adult consuming that content, you have a bit of, like, critical awareness that that's just an ideal they're selling you. But if you're a kid, like, you don't, so you consume it like anything.
Sheila, how old were you when you kind of first became conscious of maintaining a certain appearance in a negative way? I guess, kind of, you know, any kid kind of becomes aware of maintaining an appearance in terms of, oh, there's clothes I like to wear, or, you know, I want to get my hair cut and, you know, please shave the kind of lightning bolts in the side of my head type nonsense that I'm hearing at home. But, you know, in a kind of a negative way, that there's, oh God, there's a minimum standard I have to uphold.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all by the age, because I think I've spoken to you about this before, and I come from a background of being in recovery from anorexia, and that started when I was 7. So I was standing on scales at 7, and I know you're saying where, and kids are so, I see it with my younger cousins, so much more exposed online and bombarded with these things on social media. However, I was watching E! News and watching the thin celebrities. I was buying magazines every single weekend, and I was aware of what I should have looked like because of what they would write on those magazines, like, she's fat, she's a size a 10. So I, from very, very young, was aware that there was a size that was appropriate or was ideal. So in a similar way, we were also consuming that back then. And then we turn into adults who are now the influences for these younger, like, my cousins look at me and they see the acrylic nails done, they see that I dye my hair, and they're obsessed, they're asking all about it, they see my makeup, they say, oh, you're beautiful because you've makeup on. I say, no, I'm not beautiful because I've makeup on, you know. So I consumed all of that, grew up, and I often myself kind of go along and conform to the beauty standards. And then I have my younger cousins, female cousins, who are looking at all this stuff, see me doing it, and then they want to do it too. So those of us who have experienced it before, we're now growing up and I went and got Botox because I was turning 30 this year. I felt this pressure that
Did
my
you?
Yeah, I felt this pressure.
Where did you get it?
in my forehead because I'm very expressive, and I was told I was very expressive and that I was getting lines all over my head. And me as an adult who, as we said, is able to discern what, you know, be a bit more critical of things or see things for what they are, I'm still very susceptible. So I don't want to pretend that I'm not still brought into it, but I do come from a place of often having felt very bad about myself and my body and my body image from very, very young. So it can be really damaging. And actually something that's in this survey is that they say 37% report being on a diet. It's definitely not true. It's so much higher than that, because I guarantee that half of those young girls and boys don't know they're dieting, but are just doing what they think is healthy, and it's actually probably dieting.
Oh, I see. So you're nodding along there, Saoirse.
Yeah, like you're seeing, like, you know, somebody on TikTok who's saying, this is my intermittent fasting routine or whatever, or I lost 10 pounds doing this. And it's like something that when you've come through kind of like having like experience any part of that, you can look at it now and say, that's not healthy. That's not good for you. I can see how obsessive you're being about that. And I would have done the same thing. But now I know later in life that like that's not a way to live your life. But when you're, there's so much of it that's really, I think, a lot more hidden now, because like that magazines when we were growing up were so overt about it. That looking back, you're like, how were they allowed to say any of these things? But now it's a lot more insidious, I think, because it's kind of hidden away in like trends and things like that. And I think you're also like, with a lot of the content that's out there, and because there's just so much of it, I think that's the other problem, that there's so many things that people on, you know, the internet or different, you know, blogs or articles or whatever it is, will make you aware of that you might not have seen as a flaw before. Like I'm thinking now, like when I was a teenager, I had quite bad acne, which, you know, fine, I was trying to clear up. But I also had quite bad acne on my shoulders. And I was dimly aware of it, right? Like I, you know, I see a picture of myself and be like, oh God, my shoulder looks a bit spotty there, whatever. But I didn't really identify it as something that like needed fixing per se. But I can guarantee if I was 15 now and I was on TikTok and I was scrolling through, there'd be a video that was like, here's how you can get rid of your acne. Here's what you should do to fix this. Here's why you're sleeping in the wrong position and it's giving you back acne or whatever it is. It would be so obvious to me that there was something to fix, which when I was younger, I kind of didn't see in the same way. And I think that's part of it too. There's just so much. Like I saw something the other day and it was a video where someone was like, someone's going to make up a thing called like Vuvuzela arms and you need to do this exercise to fix your Vuvuzela arms and this is how you do it.
So what's a Vuvuzela arm?
Those like Vuvuzela.
Yeah, I remember
like,
they used to blow them at the World Cup in South Africa.
I think it's meant to be like that your arm has like an apex and starts bigger and goes smaller, which is just the anatomy of an arm. But it's that kind of thing of like, you'll find something else. Look at that.
So your shoulder should be bigger than your wrist.
But it's just that
you either have massive wrists or very small shoulders. Yeah. It's the other way around. You'd be bet like trying to hold up your wrists all day.
Like inventing things to be insecure about.
Yeah. Oh, I was recently told on TikTok my eyebrows were too dark, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I have dark hair. Like, you know, something just to point out something, because the only thing in my TikToks you can see is my face. So it was, well, your eyebrows are too dark.
You've kind of introduced another element to this, which is the kind of the commentary that strangers provide on your appearance as well online. Like that surely must feed into this.
Well, if you were reading the comments, exactly that, and you see this girl and you think she's beautiful and she's doing all the things, and then you look through the comments and they say, oh, you've gained weight. Oh, your face looks bigger. Oh, you're like that. You've got a few pimples now. Suddenly you go, oh, I thought she was fine. Exactly what you're saying. But now actually those are our problems and I don't want them. And people become extremely embarrassed. I have a friend who is a 10-year-old and she keeps saying, I can't believe I am buying her skincare for her birthday. Like that's what she's getting her. They want skincare. They want makeup. She now uses her daughter's skincare.
Kids are mad to get the retinol stuff.
Acids.
Yeah. They don't need it. No. Their skin is perfect. And when they do need it, like put that off as long as you can. So it's this obsession with my cousins know the names of everything. I wouldn't have known the names of things.
I tread carefully here, but I mean, are the older women in their lives, like, is there a role to play there? Because all kids will try and kind of emulate the adult, you know, it's that classic thing of, if you want to write a book that's successful for 10-year-olds, have the main character as a 12-year-old. You know what I mean? Like they all aspire to be the kind of the cooler person, the older person in their life. And if mum is taking retinol-based products, is it hard for her to turn around and say, oh no, you absolutely shouldn't be taking them. Your skin is perfect.
Well, I don't think so, because I mean, I go in and I do, as I say, I get my nails done and get fake ones put on. And every time you go in, they say, well, you shouldn't be doing this till you're 16 because your nails aren't ready for this type of thing until you're 16. So why can't a parent turn around and say, no, you're 10, you don't need retinol, you can have it when you're a grown up. Or, you know, my parents wouldn't let me get my nose pierced till I left the house, so I got it done twice. But you know what I mean? Like, your parents are in a position to put down rules while you're under their roof.
And those things are expensive.
Yeah.
Like, if I had gone to my mom when I was, you know, like mid-recession and been like, Mom, can I get this, like, this acid for my face? She'd be like, no, you absolutely can't.
Face acid.
Yeah, can I please have this face acid? Like, that's the other thing, is that, like, it's hard to imagine how people are, how young people are getting access to a lot of these products that are like, I wouldn't buy because they're expensive.
Nope.
Like, that's a treat. Like, but I think, I don't have kids, but I imagine from like having lots of younger siblings, younger cousins and stuff, it's quite hard to say no to them. Is that kind of a factor?
I wonder, the exclusion thing, because we hear this as well, the same conversation with social media of saying, well, my child won't be on social media till such and such an age, and that's maybe 16 or 17. And then the other commentary on the other side of that is, okay, but then you are isolating them from their friends because their friends will be online.
That's always the fear, yeah. So, you hate the idea, you're terrified of the idea of making your kid the odd one out.
Yeah.
A little bit. That's not a suggestion to buy face acid for anything.
I do think it's just being aware, though, of when things are maybe tipping over. So I always say that, you know, when I meet a parent and they say, oh, my child is weighing themselves or they're obsessed with their weight. Well, then I say, well, isn't it great if that's a phase? But maybe tackle it now, talk about it, discuss it, maybe let them talk to somebody. And if it's a phase, brilliant. And if it's not, you've tackled it early. So I wouldn't just brush things off like insecurities that are mentioned in this as nothing. But, you know, maybe just trying to put off the buying things and all.
Sheila Nocton from the newsroom here in News Talk. Saoirse Hanley from The Independent. Thank you both.